All right. Hello. You are listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And this is The Real World, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. The Real World happens every other Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. and it's the UBC Film Society's radio segment. We talk about all things film related, and you can tune in. I'm Lily, by the way, and say hello.
I'm Emma.
We're your regular hosts, so tune in if you want to hear us talk about all things film. We're going to jump into a special Fun Drive edition trivia episode, but first, we're going to have some ads, so we'll be right back.
Hey Vancouver, for fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip-hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembree. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
MRG Live is happy to present Anomaly with his live band at the Wise Hall on Saturday, February 24th, with support from Blue Wednesday. Anomaly has toured his electro jazz project all over the world, but this February, the Montreal-based artist embarks on a full Canadian tour for the very first time. Come out to experience the innovative fusion of electronic beats, jazz harmonies, and funky grooves from the one and only Anomaly, live in concert with his band. Don't miss Anomaly at the Wise Hall in Vancouver on February 24th, 2024. Tickets are on sale now at admitone.com.
Maybe it's time for the vows?
Hey, yo, what up? You already know what it is. Jamal steals from Crimes and Treasons Radio. This week is Fun Drive here at CITR, the one time each year where we ask for your support to help us keep local, independent, and alternative voices on the air. I said yes to CITR because they let us do trill shit like this. Yeah, you heard me. We can say what we want on air. We can really talk that real talk. So in saying that, you know supporting CITR is no gamble. This love is made to last. If you are in a position to contribute, please visit donatetocitr.ca to donate.
We do it for the love of it. Here at CITR and Discorder, we give you our love. No strings attached. All you have to do is turn on your radio or open the streaming app and it's there, free of charge, whenever you want it. We don't ask you for a thing. Most of the time. But 1 week out of the year, we give you a chance to return that love. It's called Fun Drive, and it's happening now. We're not asking for much. A little goes a long way. This year, we're aiming to raise $20,000 to help improve our studios and replace our aging antenna and transmitter. You can give a little or a lot. And there's prizes. If you give a little, there's little prizes. If you give a lot, there's big prizes. You can even host your own show. And it's easy. Go to CITR.ca and click on the donate button at the top of the screen. Do it right now. And help spread the love.
Aw, that was a beautiful message.
So touching.
That was really touching. So yeah, if you didn't catch that, it's Fun Drive this week.
Woo!
That means it's a very, very special episode of The Real World, because this type of episode only rolls around once a year. And this is Emma's first Fun Drive episode.
Yeah, very excited.
The best fundraiser of the entire year. You might be asking, Emma, what is Fun Drive? Is that what you're thinking in your head right now?
It is.
Okay.
On my mind the whole day.
Yeah, I know. It's been weighing on you. And so I kind of compiled a bit of an answer because I know you've been concerned. Fun Drive is our annual week-long fundraiser here at CITR where we ask our community to show their support with one-time or monthly donations. The theme of this fun drive specifically is all about saying yes to CITR. We're going to put some twists on that, but for now, take what you will with that. What are we fundraising for? You might also be thinking right now. Let me tell you, for the love of CITR and Discorder, please donate. Over here at CITR, we have all fallen head over heels for community radio. I mean, I don't want to speak for all of us, but you're head over heels right now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's
absolutely
what I was thinking.
Just infatuated.
Right. And so we know that CITR loves us, and they love you all as well. They love us right back. So we want to make this thing official. We're proposing that you proclaim your love for CITR and donate some money. So say yes to CITR. Don't change the channel right now. Don't change the station. This isn't some sort of ad. Like, this is serious. We want you to give back to us. We've been giving to you. Help the station raise $20,000. This will all go towards station upgrades, so CITR and Discorder can continue their presence as a community resource and a platform for underrepresented voices and artists. Today is the first day of Fun Drive, but all week you'll be able to tune into your regular shows like us. Like, we know we have all of our regular listeners on right now, and lucky you, we're here, but it's Fun Drive themed. We're also going to have all through the week, like, Fun Drive specials, things that you haven't heard before, all promoting this amazing fundraising event. How do you donate? You might also be asking. Let me tell you, it's really easy. You just go to donate to CITR. CITR is in capital letters. I'm not really sure if it makes a difference if you put it in lowercase. I don't think so. Yeah. Donate to CITR.ca. So just open that up on your phone or computer right now. Yeah, we'll give you a second. Because you also get to win swag if you donate. Did you know that?
I didn't.
There's some crazy prizes. Like, honestly, we might have to take a break just so that we can donate. Because if you donate $30 or just $5 a month, you get a 101.9 FM DJ earplug case. $60 or $10 a month, you get a glow-in-the-dark yo-yo.
That's crazy.
Are you kidding me? If you donate $101.9 or $15 a month, you get a thumbs way up marble dice and a Valentine's Day song dedication. That's so cute. You get contacted and you get to pick a song to play on Valentine's Day, and they'll read out who you're dedicating your song to, like a loved one, a non-loved one, anyone you want. So cool. And then there's a bunch of other prizes. The more and more you donate, the bigger and better the prizes get. And you also get all the prizes from the lesser tiers. So if you don't donate $1,000, you'll get to host your own show, but you'll also get all the other prizes. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
So I would hop on this. We'll keep reminding you throughout the show, though, in case this 8 minutes of promotion hasn't been enough for you to decide to donate. So we'll be back with more promoting of Fun Drive. But today, for the real world special Fun Drive theme episode, we're kind of doing a trivia related to the theme of Fun Drive, which, like I said, is all about saying yes. It's about saying I do. It's about love and proposals. And so for the first set of questions, I'm going to be quizzing Emma. I don't know if you're nervous. I don't know if you're ready.
I'm so nervous. This is like finals have nothing on this right now.
Yeah.
Shaking in the booth.
Midterms are coming up. Exams are coming up. But genuinely, we're students and we don't care, because this is what matters to us, getting quizzed on iconic proposals and professions of love. Ooh. On the big silver screen. So we'll see how well you know some iconic scenes from movies that are all about love and proposing and marriage. So cute. We also have like a rom-com episode coming up, so we're kind of just bombarding you with a lot of romance movie knowledge, but the more the merrier. So like
all love all the time on the real world.
Yeah, basically. Okay, so I'll jump right into it. We're gonna start with our first question. I tried to kind of start off with something not too crazy, a few gimmies, but okay, here we go, Emma.
Okay.
And to you, everyone listening, we want you to think about this too. Emma's not gonna shout it out right away because she wants to give you some time as well. In which adaptation of a classic love story In an early morning fog, does Matthew McFadden's character deliver a confession of love, timidly expressing the iconic lines, "You have bewitched me body and soul, and I love you." Do you know? Are you thinking?
I do.
You
I
do know? Yeah. Okay. Shoot it at us. Like what?
That is Pride and Prejudice.
You're absolutely right, Emma. 2005 Joe Wright's Pride and Prejudice. We're about to get another super special guest on this episode of The Real World. We're going to let him know that we're talking about Pride and Prejudice right now. Right now, we're doing all kind of love, profession of love, marriage proposal, iconic scenes. This isn't the whole episode, by the way. This is just a segment of it because the theme of Fun Drive is all about saying yes, saying I do. And so that's kind of just our vibe of the first couple of questions we have going. So I'm going to give you a couple fun facts while our next special guest gets set up. We're talking about Pride and Prejudice, 2005 Joe Wright's adaptation of this classic novel. And did you know that Matthew McFadden apparently has very poor eyesight? So in this scene that I'm referring to, when he professes his love, in the misty morning shot, it's all foggy. The director, Joe Wright, was actually behind the camera waving a red flag so that McFadden knew where to walk when he was walking towards Elizabeth Bennet. So ridiculous. I had no clue. All right. Zach, have you seen Pride and Prejudice?
Yeah, I watched it at Film Talk when we had the screening. Yeah, it was fun. It was a nice one. Oh, is it not on?
No, it's on. You're good. You're right up to the mic. Yeah, we can hear you perfectly. So this is Zach.
Hello.
A member of Film Sock. Do you want to introduce yourself and what you do with Film Sock?
Yeah, sure. I'm Zach. I'm, I guess, a fourth year history student. And yeah, I do like the promotion stuff. So I handle like the Instagram stuff, do all the graphics, yada, yada, yada.
So cool. We're so glad to have you on the episode. Yeah. Have you been on The Real World before?
I can't say that I have. Okay. This is a fun first experience.
Yeah, add it to one of the things that you got to keep writing in every other Thursday because
right on.
Once absolutely. You're in the studio, you can't actually escape it.
Yeah.
So
we're stuck here forever.
So like I said,
an addiction going.
An addiction to The Real World, yeah, and The Real World trivia. So we're going to move on to our next little trivia question. Emma just nailed the first question. She knew it right away. And we're kind of talking about Pride and Prejudice. Did you say you'd seen it?
Yeah. I saw it like, what is it, like a month or two ago when we were showing it?
Oh, right.
Or the book club screening. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, if I didn't already mention Film Sock, we do host a radio show, but we've got social media, which is what Zach runs. And we've also got weekly double features with a bunch of other movie-related events happening throughout the year. Tonight, by the way, kicks off the beginning of our Black History Month program. So from 6 to 8:30 is our first Black History Month program screening where we'll do a double feature in the Norm Theater, the top of the UBC Life Building or the main level floor. We're screening Black Soul and Stateless. So drop by for that.
And there will be like a little Q&A afterwards with the people who helped organize it. So if you're interested in that, that'll be fun. And then tomorrow, we are going to be showing Past Lives as part of our audience choice.
So excited. Yeah, we posted that on the social media.
Just posted it today.
Sometimes you get a choice in what we play. Our film liaison picks a lot of the films that we do, but sometimes there's audience choice. Did you guys vote for which one we were doing?
I voted. I voted for Eternal Sunshine, but that's my favorite movie of all time. But
so good.
Yeah, if you want to vote, if you want to get interested in that, check us out at UBC Film Society on Instagram. That's the place to see all the updates and what we're doing as a club. So give us a follow.
All right. We'll move on with that to our next trivia question. We'll see who can get it. Keep it in your head first. Let me know if you've got the answer in your head, though, but we don't want to give our listeners the answer right away. So still on the theme of saying yes and saying I do, because that's the theme of CITR's Fun Drive this week. In this 2009 flick, the hard-ass workaholic boss, after discovering she is in danger of losing her visa status, forces her assistant, Andrew, to marry her. She forces him to marry her so that she can stay in the States because she was going to get deported. I don't know if this is ringing a bell for anyone.
It's ringing a bell here.
It's ringing a bell over there for Zach. It's not ringing
a
bell
nothing.
For Emma. Okay, I'm going to give a little hint. I know for a fact that Zach's having it in his head right now, but I'm going to give a quick hint just so you can have it, think it in your head. The stars of this film playing opposite of each other are Ryan Reynolds, Van City Reynolds, the Van City Reynolds, and Sandra Bullock.
Oh, God. I can, like, see the cover in my head, but I cannot see the words.
You can see it. You can't even see the title, which is so overtly related to the theme of this week and these trivia questions.
Oh, God.
I'm sure you could have... Oh, okay. Let's give it to Zach. I don't know if our listeners are thinking of it right now, but what is it, Zach?
It's The Proposal.
It's The Proposal. Have you seen it, Emma?
No.
The Proposal, 2009. This is directed by Anne Fletcher. Fun fact about The Proposal. I was looking at a couple things about it. This is one of, like, I wouldn't say it's my all-time favorite anymore, but this is a movie I loved when I first saw it. I was obsessed. I thought it was so funny. Betty White's in it, and Betty White almost turned down her role for this. And, like, what would it be without Betty White?
She's one of the best parts.
Such an iconic part.
She,
so
like,
funny.
Fakes her death.
Yeah.
This, like, it's so good.
Fakes her death. They're in the plane in the name of getting everyone to finally get along and finally just love each other, because that's what life and this week at CITR is all about. Anyways, she almost turned down that role because it would require her to spend 10 weeks away from her golden retriever.
Oh,
that's true love.
That's true
that
love.
That would be hard. Yeah.
In the real world, that is true love. Anyway, I thought that was pretty funny. I'm glad you got that. You like The Proposal.
I mean, like, I've been told I look like Sandra Bullock.
So oh.
That's
it's kind
it
of
immediately, like, yeah.
Near and dear to your heart.
Exactly.
Because of
anything
that.
She does, I have to watch it.
Yeah, okay.
I love Sandra Bullock out here.
We'll try to get that in the norm for all of us fans over here, and so that Emma can finally know what it's all about.
Have you not seen it?
No,
there's this iconic scene. I thought the scene when she's in the forest, Sandra Bullock's character's in the forest, and she's like doing this weird ritual, and she's like, to the windows,
right,
to the walls.
Yeah.
I watched this with all my friends, and we were like, I don't know how old we must have been, like 9 years old. We thought it was, like, at the same time, the most, like, scandalous but, like, hilarious scene you would have ever saw.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking, like, the scene where they, like, collide when they're both naked.
Oh, my God, yeah. I was also reading about that, of how they, like, clearly felt very awkward because they, like, run into each other. They're rolling around naked. Just one of those classic, like, I don't know what other movie that happens in, but I feel like it's a classic scene.
It broke ground.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like it.
Oh, God.
Nothing has come out like it ever since.
So awkward.
This is all so crazy out of context. Like, this is like the wildest movie.
We're painting a picture for the audience.
Let's get a really quick rundown. So she's going to get to Puerto. She's like, you have to marry me, because apparently if you're, like, getting married, true love, you're getting engaged, like, you can stay in America instead of being deported back to Canada.
Yeah.
Is Sandra Bullock Canadian?
No, but Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds is. So weird. They swapped. Okay. Yeah. Weird.
So they, like, go on, like, a trip to, like, his home in Alaska or something like that to prove, like, they're a couple.
Yeah.
Of?
It's the fake dating trope. You gotta love it.
Oh, yeah.
But this takes it to a whole new level because it's fake engagement, fake marriage, fake everything. But he, like, works for her. So they are going to convince his family that, like, they actually love each other. So, but what happens by the end? They do actually love each other. So. That's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
It's kind of gives us one of the deepest morals in any film in history.
Oh, yeah.
You find love where you least expect it. Okay, anyway, so we'll see The Proposal. Emma will see The Proposal. Oh, everyone
absolutely.
Listening can stop being so concerned about her, like we all are here in the studio. Let's move on to our next question. In this hit musical, oh, I love this question. I hope this one's easy too. We're trying to get, like, some morale up in here. Everyone's really depressed. In this hit musical, the wedding that the entire film has led up to is canceled at the altar, if any place. But the mother of the bride turns it into her own wedding.
Oh my God.
I'm describing this in broad, kind of diverting what you might think it would be on purpose, because, like, that's the plot of the movie, essentially.
Okay. I think I have an answer. I don't think I've seen this movie, though, but...
Okay. What are you thinking?
The movie I'm thinking of, I haven't seen it in so long, and it's definitely not the right answer, but I remember there's a wedding involved, so I'm really just grabbing at straws here.
Okay, I'm going to try to give a couple hints. So this is... It's a musical, like I said. It was a Broadway musical.
Okay.
All of the songs in the film are from the same band.
Okay, I wasn't grabbing at straws. All right. Okay. Yeah, I'm locked in.
Okay, let's give our answers in 3, 2, 1.
Mamma Mia.
Okay, thank you. Would you ever expect someone to describe it? Because I was thinking of like, this sounds really wrong to say. Oh, yeah, the whole plot just is leading up to a wedding and then the mother steals the show. That sounds wrong, but no, that's what happens.
Is the mother Meryl Streep in it?
Yes.
Well, she always steals the show.
Yeah, so. I mean, exactly. How could she not, even if it wasn't intentional?
It's Meryl Streep. What are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking. So did someone say they haven't seen it in a really...
You haven't seen it.
I have seen it. Okay. I thought I had, but I have.
I've never seen it, but... Yeah,
that's good.
I like all the ABBA songs.
10 times more concerning than Emma not having seen the proposal. Oh my god! Okay, but you like the ABBA songs.
I love ABBA. Who doesn't like ABBA?
Okay, that's a good step. But
Swedish pop music.
You didn't come to the beer garden last year. We had Mamma Mia.
Did you guys? I don't remember, so I guess not.
Okay, well, we also have beer gardens with the UBC Film Society where we sell beer and watch a movie together. Let's see, a lot of the time it's like a fun sing-along type thing like Mamma Mia. That was a really fun one. Oh, you've got to see it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I have to check it out.
I've got another fun fact about this one. Both Benny and Bjorn from ABBA, the two Bs in ABBA, make appearances in both like Mamma Mia and Mamma Mia Here We Go Again. Like, they both have a little role in it.
Wow.
Didn't even know they're alive.
What the hell? You call yourself a fan. Oh, God.
Passively.
What about ABBA Voyage? Just came out. They just dropped a whole new album.
I don't like...
They're alive and well.
Yeah, well, so are the Rolling Stones, but that doesn't mean they're making good music now.
No, Voyage actually stops. Like, I like it. You gotta listen. Yeah. They've got some good ones.
Gotta check it out.
Yeah.
Anyway. I didn't know that's what ABBA stood for.
I honestly thought...
Okay, it's like ABBA, ABBA, we've got Benny Bjorn, okay.
Some Swedish name, you know.
And then the two A's, the two girls.
Wow.
We're learning a lot. I could have picked a much more not so fun fact because I thought everyone knew that, but I came up with this obscure one. I'm glad that you're learning something about that too. Anyway, so in this scene, Pierce Brosnan's character, Sam, begins to sing to Donna, Meryl Streep. Well, he's kind of singing. The whole wedding party singing. Everyone's singing because Sophie doesn't want to get married anymore. And he's like, why waste a good wedding, Donna? And everyone's singing like, say I do, I do, I do, I do. You guys know that song?
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to hop onto that song because it falls so well with the theme of the show. I love you, I do, I do, I do, I do. I can't conceal it. That's how we feel about CITR, the radio station. We hope you feel the same. We hope you feel the same so much so that... you give us some cash because that's how much you love the station. So in the spirit of Fun Drive, we're asking you to say, I do promise to donate. And also mention the real world while you're at it. When you're saying who inspired you to donate, the real world inspired you. Anyway, so here we go. We've got ABBA. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do.
I can't conceal it.
my gosh. Epic. My do I do. Such a good one. Okay.
Banger.
Absolute banger. We're going to move on to we've got a couple more love proposal related trivia for you just in the theme of the week. So let's jump right into it. Question four. Let's see. Where are we even at? I haven't been keeping score of anything, but you've got...
There's a score? I thought we're just playing for fun. For the fun drive.
There's always a score. It's kind of intense drive is what we've changed it into. Mm. Yeah. Did I not mention that?
I don't think
there are really high stakes right now.
Okay.
Okay, so let's see who gets this one. I'm pretty sure you guys are tied right now, by the way.
Okay.
In this big time movie franchise, there's a long awaited slow burn couple. They finally get together in the final film of the series. It's not a proposal, it's not a marriage, but they're finally like really showing each other that they love each other. Yet the actress of the duo of the part, like there's a boy and a girl, and the actress called the scene where they first kiss strange, awkward, weird, horrible, like kissing her brother.
Yeah. I think I know.
Oh yeah. I've got it.
We both know it? Okay, okay. Let's say it then.
Do we have to say like the exact movie of the franchise or just like the franchise?
We're going exact movie.
Exact movie? Yeah. Okay.
Three, all right. Two, one.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows part 2.
Yeah. Okay, that's, I guess, a piece of knowledge that everyone knew. Emma Watson felt that way about her first kiss with Rupert Grint's character.
But they, like, grew up together.
Yeah.
Like, I know. I can see what you mean. Like, they've been... They started on the set, like, maybe they were, like, 8 or 9.
Yes.
Little kids. And now they're, like, full-grown adults. And everyone's been shipping them for years. I don't know. It's a devastating thing to find out when you're, like, reading up. You're huge, like, Ron and Hermione fans. And then you read that she said some horrible things. Like, imagine being this guy. I mean, he said it was awkward, too. But no one goes into it like Emma Watson. Oh,
what did she say?
You got to feel a little bit. She was like, there's just this compilation of her interviews of her saying, I was counting down the seconds until I could get off that set. It was horrible. I'm not joking. These are exact words that she used. She was like, it was so weird. And then it like pans over. There's like sections of him and he's like, it's weird kissing a friend, you know? And he's kind of like, he's kind of endearing about it. You're like, because he loves her. I mean, that's like what every fan probably thinks, that like he's a little bit in love with her or whatever. But
pour one out for the homie.
I know, like, honestly, I'm sorry, but like, I do feel bad for him because she just gets into it, like kissing her brother. I just thought that was so funny. But yeah, that's Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows part 2. This couple is eventually married. Like, we don't really like see that part play out in the films or really in the books either, like the proposal or anything. It's just like epilogue time, and they have 2 kids. Do you guys know the names of the kids that they have once they're married?
I know Harry's kids.
Yeah, Harry's
kids
are insane.
It's like Albus, Sirius, or no, it's like Lily, James, and Albus, and then they all have like Severus and like Sirius is like middle names.
Every name in the franchise is actually incorporated into their 3 names.
Everyone who's died.
But we don't know.
No.
Okay, so the kids of this couple who's finally married, Ron and Hermione, they have Rose and Hugo Granger Weasley.
That's like more normal than Harry's kids. He just started like picking people from his life and just throwing all their names.
Passing on trauma to his children.
Like, Papa, how did I get this name? Well, 7 men died. Brutally murdered. That's how you got your name, kid.
There was a war. You don't need to know about it. But
yeah. Okay. And so in the scene where Ron and Hermione, when they finally kiss, another little follow-up question. Because, okay, are we all huge Harry Potter fans here?
Yep.
Yeah.
I know you 100%. Every Christmas. Oh, yeah. I was looking through your letterbox. Like, you're back. You're logging it. I feel like I've been watching them out of order recently.
Oh, yeah.
But I just kind of start wherever my heart takes me. But you rewatch the entire thing.
Yeah. Me and my family.
I don't think I've seen the series for, like, probably, like, half a decade at this point. But, like, I grew up, like... It's all ingrained in my mind.
Okay.
Like, I grew up watching the series like probably like 3 times a year.
Mine's opposite. I did not grow up on this at all. No clue. Grade 10, someone introduced me to the films.
Wow.
And grade 10, so like, what is that, like 4, 5 years ago? Finally, full-blown like fan. Like, that's when it started. I hadn't. And so then I watched all the movies, read all the books like throughout high school.
Books are great.
Oh, yeah.
Author.
Not so much. You got to mention that, I guess, when you're talking about Harry Potter. We're not supporters of that. Yeah. What's your history with the Harry films and movies? Potter?
I definitely read the books first. I think I read them when I was 11 or 12.
You did it in the right way.
Yeah, I was like a book movie purist. Still am. Like, I'll always read the book before I watch the movie. Nice. But I know I saw Harry Potter with my family. I think I must have been about 14 or 15 when I first saw it. So I did see... No, I must have been 13. Yeah, I'm lying terribly. But yeah, I think 13. And
this is live, Emma. So watch what you say, please. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think I saw it when I was like, 13. We watched them all around like Christmas time. It's just like been a thing that we do every Christmas when I get back. And we'll just like, Harry Potter time.
Get it on the TV. Like,
exactly. Yeah, it takes like so long. So we'll all fall asleep halfway through and be like, oh, we got to rewatch the second half. They're all like 2.5 hours long. So it's a bit brutal, but we commit to it regardless.
You got to do it. You got to do what you do. Okay. Well, in the spirit of the fact that we're all... I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know exactly if you were a huge fan as well, Zach. Yeah. But since we all are, I'll do my other follow-up. I prepared a couple other follow-up to quiz your knowledge.
Okay,
so in this scene, when Ron and Hermione finally kiss, which Horcrux and with what did they destroy, like, right before?
I got this. Can I answer immediately? Or?
Do you also have an answer in your head? Just so we can, like, embarrass you if you don't.
I don't. This is going to be so humbling. Yeah, I didn't get to this one this year. Go ahead.
Okay. We will not be inviting Emma back onto the show. Okay, go ahead, Zach. Just kidding.
It's the locket? Oh, no. It's Tom Riddle's book. The diary, and they destroy it with a basilisk fang.
That's wrong.
Is it wrong?
That's wrong.
Oh,
okay, you're
I'm
right
the
about
one who is humbled.
I got it.
I do think it's the basilisk fang.
But you answer.
What's the diadem with the basilisk fang? Maybe. Do not say I'm wrong. Do not deceive.
That is not what they say. That's not what they say, guys. Keep going. Like,
it's like the Hufflepuff chalice.
Yeah, it's the cup. Oh, Helga Hufflepuff's cup.
God, that stupid cup.
Yeah. about
that. Well, at least within this question, you also learnt every other Horcrux. So you're getting a little extra knowledge. I was also like in this process of finding out the fun facts about this scene. I was comparing it to the book scene. Completely different of like when Ron and Hermione finally get together. I don't know if you remember in the books, but
I do not. It,
in the scene, like the first kiss... The reason that they finally kiss is not because they just destroyed a Horcrux and, like, in whatever the emotions of the moment, and they're like, oh my god, finally we're here, we're in this battle, like, why not right now? It's instead Ron is like, we've got to save the house elves, like, we've got to get them out because they don't know what's going on, and we need to help them get to safety, like, we should go to the basement and help them escape, we don't want another like house elf dying, like Dobby just recently died. And that is what gets Hermione going so much that she kisses him, because that's like her big campaign in the books that we don't really hear about as much in the movies.
Completely. She tries to unionize the house elves.
Yes, it's a really important part. Honestly, I can see why they took it out of the movies. Like, I was never feeling this gaping hole of like, okay, but where's the union? Like, I wasn't watching the movies. Like, if they're going to take something out, like, I understand. But yeah, it's much different in the books.
Yeah.
Hermione drops everything she's holding. She's holding a shit ton of basilisk fangs, and she runs up to kiss him, and then Harry's standing there. Harry's present for their first kiss when the two finally get together. So honestly, like, I'm thinking about the films. I like that they're alone.
Yeah.
Harry didn't need to be there, honestly.
Dealing just forever and always.
Yeah.
Go find Voldemort.
Well, hopefully we have another like Harry Potter themed episode, because that'd be fun. We clearly have lots to talk about, lots to get into, especially like with the adaptation stuff. So interesting. Yeah. What they did to the books is always something to talk about. Okay. We'll move on to our next question. Question 5. You guys are doing great, by the way. you're killing it. I should have made harder questions, honestly. Hopefully this gets a little bit harder. In this 2023 biopic, a short glamorous wedding scene of the main couple, they're a famous couple, is shown. And the woman that this, the part of the couple that it's based off of in this relationship, she was in the wedding in the movie, but the woman that it was based off of in real life, she describes that kind of time when she was getting married to this guy. In real life, they apparently were both very nervous. Their hands were shaking. They tried to escape their fans to get married in real life. So they went to get their marriage license at 1 a.m. Do you have any guesses on what biopic came out in the past year that might be about this couple that apparently in real life, that was the sequence of their wedding. They ran out at 1 a.m. in the morning. They were trying to just escape fans to get married.
have two guesses.
Okay, you have two guesses. Do you have anything on your mind?
I only have one biopic. I don't think it's the right one, but it's the only one I think I've seen this year.
Okay, so why don't you give it a go, Emma, first?
I want to say Priscilla, maybe.
Also Zach? One of mine.
Also one of yours? Yeah. Did you have another one you want to throw in there?
The other one I was going to say was Ferrari.
Okay. Okay, I haven't seen Ferrari, but...
I haven't seen it either, but...
You're right. Also, people. We just got a text in from one of our like really, really dedicated listeners. She tunes in every week. I finally have let her have my number since she's so dedicated to the show. We don't usually do this. If you contact us, we won't usually get in contact back just because we have a really big influx of fan mail coming in. But my mom just texted and she also said Priscilla. So it's mass vote. Everyone thinks it's Priscilla, yeah. And that's right. So
there we go.
This is Sofia Coppola's 2023 film, and I was watching some stuff of real life Priscilla talking about what that wedding was actually like for her. And that's what it was. They were escaping fans, probably a constant in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
I had some hints, but you guys got that one right away. Okay, this one's a little bit for Emma.
Oh, God.
Okay, so we'll jump into this. I hope I get this kind of right, because I've got to admit before I say the question, I haven't actually seen it. But I wanted to see if I could grasp the concept enough to throw this one out there.
Yeah.
So this is a Finish the Line. And give the name of the film. This is a marriage, I don't know if it's so much love-related quote, mm-hmm. from a film. Loreen's good at making hard deals in the machinery business, but as far as our marriage goes...
We could do it over the phone, Brokeback Mountain.
You killed that, Emma. You killed it. I knew you would.
Oh,
you were
yeah.
getting nervous because I was so targeted at you. But yeah, I haven't seen Brokeback Mountain, but it's one of your favorites, right?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it so many times because it was filmed all Alberta, and I'm from Alberta. So okay. whenever I'm longing for home, put on the sad gay cowboys.
Absolutely. It's about time. The Harry Potter rewatch is done. Let's just put Brokeback Mountain. Have you seen it, Zach?
Years ago. Okay. Yeah. I remember, I think I've seen it twice. I remember not really liking it the first time, but I think that's because I fell asleep watching it. But the second time, I did enjoy it.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Very good.
Well, yes. We might have a full episode all about it because you're very passionate about it. And you got the line word for word. What cued you in? Do you actually just know it that well? I was worried, is the name of her character being at the front? Did that give it away right away?
It wasn't the name. It was just the machinery bit, because I remember that. I was okay. Started hearing it in Jake Gyllenhaal's voice. I'm like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
So what's going on in this scene?
This is a big emotional sort of scene between the two leads. Mm. I always Jack and Ennis, I think. I'm never good with their names, but yeah, this is their big sort of moment.
Oh, okay.
Between, I think I'm remembering out of sequence, but I do remember it's between those two when they're talking.
Nice.
That's the sort of moment where he's trying to convince Ennis to leave his wife,
right.
come with him instead.
Gotcha.
But
and it sounds the marriage isn't all that good. Far as he says, they could do the whole marriage over the phone.
Yeah,
is the line that Emma just finished. I wonder if anyone listening also got that. It feels like how could you ever? But apparently, there's this niche group of people that can finish that.
I'm being clowned by my sister over text right now by how fast I got that. So
we're very proud. We're very proud. Way to go, Emma. I don't know what the score is right now. It's a real world.
I think you're probably in the lead.
Tied.
I think it's 3-2 or something.
I don't know.
You should get extra points for just how fast you got that.
Exactly. That was insane. I'm so impressed.
Yeah. Only line I know from that movie is I don't know how to quit you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wish I knew how to quit you.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, just on whatever that relationship was, I can't really get into it with you because I haven't seen the movie, but their relationship seems pretty, they could do it over the phone. It's kind of digital, you could say. It's almost virtual, you could say. Almost reminds me of how you can express your love today for CITR by just clicking a few buttons. Consider making a quick donation while you listen to this next tune. So, like I said, all donations are made to donate to CITR.ca. We'll see if you can kind of relate. There's some sort of relation between this next song and what you'll be doing during the song. See if you can catch it. It's kind of trivia within itself. A little game for you. Okay, so here you go. While you make your donation.
there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Okay, I hope that that inspired you to give a little. It's kind of all about being humble and stuff like that. So yeah, see, again, donate to CITR.ca. That's the link. You can win some awesome swag. There's like a sweatsuit to be won. There's like, you can host your own show if you give the top dollar amount. All sorts of crazy stuff. So get on that.
Fun prizes there.
Yeah, seriously. You don't want to miss out. Okay. Next, we're moving on to a new section where I'm going to play a song and you're going to guess what film it's from. And it's going kind of related to money or love or both. A little bit of both. And we'll see how this goes. I'm going to play a section of the song and we'll see if we can guess what movie, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. They're pretty easy.
Oh, yeah. The greatest movie ever made.
Okay, give it.
It's La La Land.
La La Land.
Of course.
Oh, it's devastating.
I love La La Land so much.
In terms of money, you might like be thinking, I mean, it's not that like crazy. This movie has some commentary on money and work, yeah, and then also about love, obviously. There's a lot of stuff in the movie about like working in the acting industry or working in the film industry or like just as a performer, especially in Hollywood when it's where it's taking place. And it's all about big breaks and finding your place, I guess. For fools who dream, looking for that someone in the crowd who's gonna get you to the top.
Not the guy who wrote Beverly Hills Chihuahua, though. Like, I can stay in the back.
A fun fact about this film, when I was thinking about, okay, this is all about like finding your place in an artistic profession. It's no easy feat. Like, it's hard because you're like competing against, they're going to these auditions. Like, both the people are Mia and Sebastian. They're both artists. Mia's going to all of these auditions. Yeah, by the way, you're listening to Mia and Sebastian's theme. So there's that. And they're going to these auditions and like having a hard time. They're just trying to make a living. They're just trying to make some money. And the scene where Mia, played by Emma Stone, is auditioning and she gets interrupted, like the classic scene, and they like aren't really paying attention to her audition at all. She's interrupted right away. So sad for like aspiring actors. The casting director is not paying attention, and it was based off an experience that Ryan Gosling actually had. Oh. Like the whole scene was. Even it's Ryan brutal. Gosling. Like if you're trying to get inspired, if there are any actors or actresses listening, even Ryan Gosling had those types of experiences. Oh,
yeah. I will say too, if you love La La Land, you should check out two movies that they're heavily inspired by. By Jacques Demy. He's a French New Wave guy. Mm-hmm. You should watch Umbrellas of Cherbourg, I believe it's called, where Damien Chazelle just basically rips off the ending and puts it in La La Land, but it's still amazing. And the other one is The Young Girls of Rochefort, which takes like a bunch of the musical aspects and like the colors and just how vibrant everything is. And just those are two amazing movies that definitely inspired La La Land, but doesn't make La La Land any less great. So.
Yeah. But great recommendations. Like if
for sure.
I love those things where it's like, if you loved La La Land, you should see. Like, that's perfect. Like, we need an easy way to figure out. But everyone here has seen La La Land.
Oh, yeah.
Many times. Devastating. I cry every time.
Likewise.
You should have seen their faces when they started to, like, they right away in the studio knew what I was playing. But it's not really the face of, like, joy. It's kind of devastating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to the next song. You guys got that one really quickly. I don't know if this one will stump you at all. It's kind of related to money, this one. Does it sound familiar?
Not really. Very jazzy.
Nothing up here.
I can't say I know this one.
Yeah.
Really? I'll give some hints. I don't know if this is cluing in for anyone else. This is kind of an action film a little bit.
Is it a heist movie?
It's a fraud type movie.
Fraud movie.
Because I was going to say something like Ocean's 11 or something, but I don't know.
I mean, I can see where you're getting that from. Yeah. Like, you can definitely tell the vibe of like, yes, it's fraud. It chronicles the life of a real life. It's based on a true story. I don't know if this is going to give it away right away. But it's based on the life of one Frank William Abagnale Jr.
Who?
Frank William Abagnale Jr. is an American security consultant, author, and convicted felon who committed frauds that mainly targeted individuals and small businesses. They made this film, like, based on it.
I know, like, the description is so familiar to me, but I cannot, like, picture a name right now.
It's
so killer for me.
Okay, so Abagnale wrote an autobiography called Catch Me If You Can.
Oh!
There we go. And the movie is a Steven Spielberg movie, 2002, mm-hmm. based on same name as the guy's autobiography, Catch Me If You Can, inspired the film about Abagnale. And Abagnale was portrayed by Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. Have we seen it?
I have not seen it.
I saw it when I was like 13, so it's been a while to say the least.
Okay. Some fun facts about this film. The real Abagnale originally didn't even think that DiCaprio had what it took to play him in the film. He said he didn't think he was going to be like charming, confident, conniving enough to play him. I think he was.
Oh, yeah.
I think he killed it. Another thing is Frank Abagnale Jr. It's just so funny that it's like based on a true story. The real guy wrote his autobiography about like showing the narrative of like him doing all this fraudulent felon behavior. He made a cameo in the movie as none other than one of the officers that arrests himself. Like, so like DiCaprio like portraying him.
Oh, wow.
He plays the officer that arrests him on Christmas Eve. Like, there the real guy is. So if you're watching this film like at all, like, I think I watched it not knowing that it was based on a true story.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else had that experience. I don't know if that's very lame of me to not know that backstory.
I didn't even know it was a real thing. So
Real guy.
You're not alone.
Oh, yeah.
did crazy stuff. I don't know if everything that's in the film, I haven't read the autobiography. I got to get on that. But I don't know if all of the things that he does in the film are true stories, but like posing as a pilot, posing as all of these different professions, like hacking these entire systems, crazy stuff.
When you lie on your resume.
That's what I feel like. I feel like Abingdale. And he like poses as a teacher. He gets away with it all because he has that kind of confident, charming attitude.
And not to like, if you liked Catch Me If You Can, not to like plug one of my favorite movies ever, but to plug one of my favorite movies ever, definitely check out American Animals, which is another heist film based off an autobiography about these four college students who tried to commit an art heist in the early 2000s.
Okay.
And it, yeah, really does a good job of interweaving documentary narrative, and like how we deal with memory and that sort of thing. It's a very interesting watch. I highly recommend everyone like that I talked to is sick of hearing about this, but
I remember we've talked about this before.
We absolutely have.
I've got it. I still have to see it. But yeah, no, I think that relates completely. Plug it as you should. We need recommendations. Okay, next one. Oh my gosh, I'm actually very proud that I stumped you guys, not to be rude. But I was like, geez, I'm going too easy on these guys. Gotta lower some self-esteem. Okay, let's move on. So next one, I'm going to play a bit of the song. Let's see if you guys can get it. This is an older one. It's all about money, though. Are you thinking anything? Does it sound familiar?
It's giving off, like, Disney vibes a little bit.
I can see where you get
this. Like, this is very, this is pre-21st century.
1962.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, wow. It's money.
Maybe. I have one guess. I've never seen it. It's just a stab in the dark.
Go for it.
Is it It's a Wonderful Life?
It's not It's a Wonderful Life. There is money. There's money in It's a Wonderful Life. We just talked about It's a Wonderful Life on another episode, so go to the website and listen back. The name of the film, honestly, like, sounds... It's like the opposite. It's the opposite of the name of that film. Okay, so this is in 1962, directed by Stanley Kramer. I'll give a brief plot. I hope some of you listeners maybe are having something, because these guys in the studio, they don't know shit.
Drawing a blank.
A group of motorists witness a car crash in a California desert, and after the driver's dying words indicate the location of a hidden stash of loot, of good old money, they turn against each other for a race across the state to go to it. The entire film is just them finding different modes of transportation, trying to be the first one out of all the witnesses of the death to find the hidden, buried loot.
I have one guess.
Go for it.
It's a mad world or whatever.
Ding, 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 ding.
Whoa.
Have you seen it?
Nope.
How'd you get that?
I used to work at like a video record store for like 5-6 years, and I became the movie guy.
Oh, here we go.
And I had to... Oh.
It's a mad world.
Yeah, I had to like look at all the titles and stuff, and I was just like looking at like that one, seeing everyone, like all the faces on it, and like how like on the back it said everyone was like traveling across the state trying to find something. So that's kind of rung a bell.
That's exactly
there.
What it is. There's no movie that relates so much to like on the journey to get money as It's a mad world. When this film was made, apparently, this is the funnest facts out of all the fun facts, there were about 100 stunt performers apparently like working actively in the U.S. like trying to get stunt performing jobs, and 80 of those 100 were on this film.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's crazy. I watched this summer, I think, so that's why it popped into my head. It was like a recent watch of mine, but how could you not include it when we're talking about money and donations and fundraising, because they're the most greedy people. But who isn't? Like, it's a huge lot of cash they're after.
Yeah, and the guy died, you know? It's up for grabs.
It's up for grabs, and they're the only ones who know about it.
Yeah.
You guys got to watch it.
Finders keepers.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to jump into some rapid fire.
Oh, I got to lock in for this one.
Okay, I tried to find... Okay. I'm trying to cater to some of our members in the studio today. Rapid fire not even related to money or love, as far as I'm concerned, or not specifically. Just guess the film that this song was played in, okay?
Okay.
Let's see who can rack up the most points in this, just in our last 4 minutes of The Real World. I hope it picks up a little bit soon. I'm not sure if it's giving much away.
Oh, Paris, Texas.
Boom.
One of my favorite, yeah, this is like my favorite movie of all
time. I might have been on your letterbox while I was picking some of the films that are coming up.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
I better not embarrass myself.
This one better be quick. It's a mix. It's a jumble of what's happening from your letterbox or just from...
Okay. Saltburn.
Saltburn.
Emma got that one. Yeah. Saltburn. This one's going crazy on like every social media right now. Oh,
okay. That's the only good thing about that movie for me.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I don't know.
We're gonna get into a fight today.
But
we're
gonna
get into
just
it.
The fact Saltburn. That this song has become such a hit again, yeah. It's a banger.
Oh yeah. I'm very glad this research.
That movie. Ooh.
Okay. Well, we don't have time to get into that today. Yeah. We wish we could. But next song, I might have to skip a little bit into the middle of this one.
I can think of how this is gonna go, but I cannot remember the movie. Oh my god.
Hopefully the tune gets a little bit.
The crashes, because this is just like Swan Lake.
Right? Yeah, and so what? Come on.
The Nutcracker?
Swan Lake, we've got The Breaking of the Glass. It's Darren Aronofsky.
Oh, Black Swan.
Yeah.
There you go.
You guys have both seen this one.
Yes. No, it's a great
I've
movie.
Never seen
you haven't seen it?
No.
Okay.
That's really good.
Yeah. That was pretty good. Pretty quick. You got it. Let's see.
Rocky.
Yeah. Boom.
It's fast.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Yeah. And How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Close, but no. Oh. It is a Christmas movie. Ooh. The name of the song is Mom Returns.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
There we go.
And with that, we'll end off with that. Home Alone for no good reason. Doesn't relate to anything we did this episode, but why not? Thank you for joining us today. We're coming up to a wrap now.
Me.
We had Zach in the studio today for the first time ever. Hopefully he returns. I don't know. We'll talk about if he had the worst experience of his life after the show.
This was amazing.
Okay,
beats
and then
studying.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
And then our usual, of course.
Yeah, Emma.
Emma was here and I'm Lily and this was The Real World on CITR 101.9 FM, our fun drive special, all movie related trivia theme today. Hope you guys had fun. Maybe we'll do another kind of trivia vibes later on in the year, but yeah. donate yes. to citr.ca to win some swag for Fun Drive. All right, thanks for listening.
Thank you.